Better on Draft Podcast is part of the PodcastDetroit.com network and is recorded live in the Detroit Sound Studios above Activate Gaming in Ferndale, Michigan.
Now, pop that 40 and kick back. Here is Dan, Nick, Ken, and Rob.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode number 26 of the Better on Draft podcast. My name is Ken, and with me, as always, Dan.
Hey, what's going on, buddy?
What's going on?
I like how you came to me first, because you know I don't have any
Natty daddies anymore.
I wish I did. I should have grabbed one.
That was that's quite all right. It wasn't that bad, but, you know, I had so much other stuff to drink that I just couldn't finish it.
Oh.
Man, it was just a shame.
I wasn't even pouring that for my homies, man.
Oh. It's good though.
Good and terrible.
Oh.
What are you drinking? It looks like you got some goodies in front of you.
I'm triple fisting, apparently. I really am. I got three beers.
Yeah.
Start with one of the Michigan ones. I have the Double Tree, Crooked Double Tree. Very good.
Which variant of that?
Oh, this is just the double.
Making sure.
I got some No Rules in one hand. I got some Trooper in the other. I mean, we got Iron Maiden here on Tuesday.
Oh, yeah.
Might as well drink,
so. Are you going to the concert?
Yeah, of course. It might be the last time they honestly roll through if you think about it.
I actually bought tickets just like last week.
Nice. Well, you'll have to hook up with me on Tuesday.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Well, Nick, what's going on over there?
Nothing. We're just playing.
Looks like you're triple fisting, too.
Well, I'm going to be not really triple fisting. I'm going to be distributing some beer here today.
Distributing some beer. What do you got?
I'm going to be pouring everyone a little bit of the 20th anniversary of Higher Math from Dogfish Head.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's only like 17%.
It's only 17%.
It's not the highest.
And then a little bit, we're going to do this Mango Magnifico from Founders. I don't know if you're going to like that or not.
Probably not. Isn't it a chili beer?
It's mango with habanero.
Habanero.
Yeah, that's quite all right. I mean,
you got to have at least a little bit.
Maybe we should have started with that.
Why do I have to?
Because it's a beer podcast?
Yeah, I have plenty of beer right in front of me.
That's a good answer.
Rob, what do you got over there?
Oh, right now I'm getting ready to start sipping on the No Rules, Parents No Rules.
Batch 2,
Purple Bowling Ball. Everybody needs the full reference.
Oh, is that how they differentiated between the two? Batch 1 was a green, Batch 2 is a purple?
Yeah, that's as far as I can tell.
I don't know. I just drink the beer.
Right, I know.
Well, I'm also a host. I'm Ken. I'm drinking Tapestry's Mr. Orange because it's delicious. I also got a cup of No Rules. I'm sure I'm going to be getting some Mango Magnifico as well as some Higher Math soon, too. So we've got a lot to be pouring tonight, but we do have a guest. We have a guest Dearborn Brewing. Why don't you introduce yourself?
Hi, everyone. I'm John Rosinski. I'm the owner and brewer at Dearborn Brewing.
Owner and brewer of Dearborn Brewing. So that's all you do is you own it and you brew. You don't do any bartending, busing.
I do some busing. They do their level best to keep me away from bartending and especially away from the point of sale system.
Oh, Lord. No.
Pretty bad.
They don't want me breaking things. So
they don't want me breaking things.
Understandable.
They just kind of shoo me off into the back to clean kegs or something. It's like, don't you have some kegs to be washing?
Ah. Keeping you out from the front.
Pretty much, yeah.
Hiding you from everyone.
That's not good.
Well, I mean, he can't break anything if he's not touching
that's,
it, right?
That's true.
Very true. Very, very true.
Well, I can just find other things to break.
Other things to break. So you stick to the stuff you know, like the brewing.
Yeah, pretty much.
So how long were you a home brewer for?
About 15 years. There's some bleed over there where we had kind of unofficially launched the brewery and had filed paperwork and were shopping for real estate. So I don't know whether to classify that as still being a home brewer or a brewery owner at that point.
But I think the first time you sell your first pint is the first official brewery.
Probably about 50
not
and a half.
Brewing.
Is this a legal or an official
description? I would say I just made it up because I just made it up. I mean, there's no real definition in regards to when you move from home brewing to production brewing. I guess
it's not like the first time when you Google opening a brewery, that doesn't mean you're like no longer a home brewer.
Well, I think all of us are then no longer a home brewer at that point.
Truthfully, I consider myself a home brewer with a 7-barrel system. So,
all right. So, what do you have on tap right now over at the Dearborn Brewing?
Right now, we've got an amber ale, a pale ale, an American wheat, Belgian wit, IPA, and Death by Chocolate Porter.
Okay. Yeah. I like that. How was it in comparison to like Decadent from Atwater? Is there any comparison, or have you never had it and then you can't really compare?
I've not had Decadent in a while. I don't get out that much anymore.
Okay.
Too busy brewing.
So what are you drinking then when you're not brewing? Like what kind of beer do you prefer other than your own? Or do you not even prefer your own?
Oh, I still enjoy drinking my own beer. That's a welcome plus. If we get out, my go-tos are usually something like a Two-Hearted or something kind of easy to find. We don't stray too far from home right now, and there's not a lot of easily accessible places by the time we close up to go get. We're not too far from Pete's place down in Taylor, but that's a bit of a drive once it's already midnight. And
So do you have a secondary job also along with being a lead brewer at a brand new brewery?
I do. I've not yet departed my day job at Nissan. So
oh, really?
So I don't sleep much.
What do you do? If you don't mind me asking, what do you do for Nissan?
I do like technical reviews. We set up the dealer service part catalogs.
Okay.
So. I was hoping you were going to say you make the cubes or design the cube, but
But still, I mean – brewing, working 40, I'm assuming 40 plus hours at Nissan.
Yep.
It's going to call for not a lot of free time, I guess, at this point.
What's free time?
There is no free time.
So you go more towards the easier to find beers, you know, your Bells, your Founders. Do you have a guilty pleasure, like a Bud, a Coors, a Stroh's? Something that, you know.
PBR.
Oh, yeah. Everybody loves a little tall boy.
I'd probably say Boston Lager would be about.
Boston Lager. Yeah. You know, that's definitely an interesting answer for the fact that not many people replicate that same style of lager anywhere. Boston Lager definitely has a hold on that style of lager. I'm trying to think of really anywhere that I've seen
like
that has.
Similar to that?
Yeah, because isn't it a Vienna-style lager?
Something like that, yeah. And I can't think of another one anywhere.
Yeah, I really don't. So I think that definitely helps a lot of people. In regards to the process of going from like your yellow beer to a craft beer, because it's a lot easier. I mean, but really, Sam Adams has two, that and the cherry wheat.
Yep.
Are two probably the most easier drinking beers out there. That allow for someone to be like, okay, there's different tastes, there's different flavors. Let me see what else I can expand to. So what made you want to start homebrewing?
Well, the running joke is temporary insanity. But then I get reminded that we're into about year two or three of the full process now, so I don't think the temporary applies anymore. Most of my friends just joke around that I got tired of waiting for someone else to open one in Dearborn and just said, you know, I'll do it myself. I think the honest answer is it just sort of happened organically. We were at dinner one night and we were talking about things and I said, you know, we could probably make something like this. I'd already been brewing for quite a while and I said, you know, I think I'm going to see if this might work. And my wife, after she stopped laughing at me, said, well, if you can show me numbers that look like it might work, then, you know, then I'll let you do it. So I spent probably the next 6 months putting together business plans, financial projections, surveying the area, trying to figure out where we'd put it, you know, what the beer landscape kind of looked like.
How hard was it finding the real estate?
That was a nightmare. In one sense, it was a nightmare. In the other sense, it was really easy because the first person who ever approached me about signing a lease is where we ended up signing the lease. So I could have skipped a whole lot of heartache, but we kind of shopped around for properties. And Dearborn had just come through a really, really hard time with the recession and Ford Motor Company laying off so many people.
Right.
And what a lot of people don't understand about everything that went down there, Dearborn had just instituted paid parking, and that became wildly unpopular.
Very.
Even though it wasn't horribly expensive and it wasn't really the biggest issue at the start. But Ford, over the span of 2 or 3 days, knocked down like 1,800 jobs during the recession at one point.
Mm-hmm.
And then the right. people who survived actually got their lunch hours cut from an hour to 30 minutes.
Oh, boy.
So basically over the span of 72 hours, all of these little bars and restaurants that depended on the lunch crowd along Michigan Avenue
were gone.
To survive
right.
saw their revenue source gone.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, from there things just kind of spiraled downhill until, you know, the property owner started filing bankruptcy. So when I was looking, the reason I said it was a bit of a nightmare, half the time you couldn't figure out who actually owned the building
oh.
to go talk to them. And then, you know, you'd find some buildings, you had two or three people claiming ownership. And it's like, oh, yeah, I'm just going to pick which one of you three I like best and sign a lease and hope for the best. I'll move on. Thanks.
It's when they start asking cash only.
Yeah.
Don't want to deal with any realtor.
Deed. Oh, we'll yeah, sell it right. to you. Here you go.
Okay. Seen plenty of those going through my old days where when I used to work at the bank and you'd see these quit claim deeds coming through and it's somebody's like, I sold my house. When did I do that? So, yeah, you see a lot of people getting ahead. So you work for Nissan. You are the head brewer. Do you have anybody else that works in the brewery in regards to making the recipes, or is that kind of your whole baby?
The recipes are mostly me. The one exception right now is the Death by Chocolate Porter.
Nice.
Fellow home brewer and former state representative, a fellow by the name of Doug Geis. Basically made me a
former representative?
Yeah, made me a made me a trade. He would give me the recipe if I'd let him come in and play on the big toys. So he's been in twice now. We've brewed two batches of it. It's selling really well. So
good.
Nice. We'll keep that one around for a while. Everyone's been asking me, are you going to keep that for the summer? As long as it keeps moving, I'll happily. Hey, Great Lakes keeps the fits on pretty much year round, near as yep. I can tell. So.
Has anybody had that Higher Math yet? Because no. I just took a sip of it, and it's heavy.
It is very heavy.
I try some. I was doing that.
Yeah. Cool. John, have you had a sip of it yet? Or
no, I have not.
Okay, all right.
It's interesting to say the least. Yeah, it's not. It's a sipping beer. Yeah.
Yep. John's shaking his head over there.
Thinking man.
It is very strong, very heavy.
Like, you can taste that it's strong, but you don't taste the alcohol. Like, you know it's strong because it's got that, like, kick you in the face. Like, I saw John's eyes lit up like, whoa, hey, good morning there.
Golden ale with chocolate and sour cherry juice.
That makes a little bit more sense in regards to the cherry juice for sure. You definitely taste that.
Right.
I think you smell it, too.
Yeah, ooh. I definitely. Oh, yeah.
What did you think, man? You're like confused. Almost.
I'm like, this is a thinking man's beer.
It's like, what the hell?
You don't crack
I doing?
This open and be like, oh, I'm going to drink this. Like, oh, I'll have a sip of this, and then
like Robitussin. Like,
this is not bad, but it's not like I'm going to sit down like right. even drink one bottle of this. I'm going to be like,
I got this from 8 Degrees a couple weeks ago, and I know Ken, you know, when I told him I had this, and he was like, how much did you pay for that? It was the day that I walked out with the Mango Magnifico, two other big bottles, and a six-pack that was all for $65. And
yeah, that's definitely – I mean, between the Higher Math and because the Higher Math is pretty much like $13 to $14.
That was $9.99.
I would say I've seen
the tag on it.
I've seen $10 to $11, and there have been other stores I've seen it where it's been $15, $16.
Oh, they mark 40, it up for whatever.
$48 for a 4-pack is what I thought was. The going
it's like
rate.
You're here to drink that 4-pack though. Wow.
Yeah.
Now, you got to put a cork back in the bottle after you have like a 3-ounce pour yourself.
When I was going through there, I was trying like, all right, you know, I want to get in. Get something that I never had before, and I know at least I know Dogfish Head at least, but I'm like I'm not familiar with this one, so I'm like, all right, well, what the hell, grab it, and next thing I know, Ken's saying, where the hell did you get that?
Yeah, that was definitely it was highly sought after, but nobody's buying a lot of it just because of the price point.
Yeah,
along with the style of beer because it's not a barrel aged.
Yeah,
right.
No, I've been seeing.
That's the current thing.
I saw it at Whole Foods maybe a couple of weeks ago that they wanted 40 for a 4-pack.
I saw it yesterday at Bed Bath & Beyond.
They have a liquor license?
They have a beer and wine license.
Wait. Hold on. Can you use the coupon?
Actually, I don't know. That would have been a great question.
See, we have a stack of those coupons at the
exactly.
house.
Exactly. I have hundreds of just those 20% or the $5 off. And it just always makes sure if you're going to spend less than $15, use the $5 off coupon. And for something like that, if I was actually going to pursue getting this beer, I want to know if I could use that damn coupon.
We're going to have to study the 20% get coupon to see if you can discount the beer.
I don't think
sure.
you can discount beer legally like that.
Well, I mean, coupon wise, maybe. I mean, there are places to discount beer as they try to get rid of it. Like how I got that case of beer for $10
or that $3 growler fill.
Oh yeah, the $3 Cabin Fever growler fill. It was Bring Your Own Cup Day.
Oh, that was nice.
Over at 8 Degrees and
Bring Your Own Cup Day. Here you come with like the super big gulp or whatever. Here, fill the garbage can for
bring
me.
A DOS Boot like a 2 liter.
Yeah, that would
DOS Boot.
They're like, all right, here you go. Let's fill that out. Or a yard. If anybody had a yard. At 8 degrees, you're walking around with a giant yard as you're shopping. The thing's as tall as some people.
You know, I'd rather just bring a bucket, like a mop bucket. Like, fill this up for it. And walk around drinking.
Oh, that's too funny. Get like a mop bucket with like make a giant straw, so you're just like sipping it as you're pushing
just
it.
Just walking a pail around, holding it, just straw, act 3 foot straw in your mouth.
Ask if they have like a shopping basket so you can set it in there with the straw and be pushing it around.
That's when I just bring one of my old 7 gallon homebrew ale pails in.
Oh, yeah. Just go this for me. Like, I don't think our keg holds that much.
It'll fit perfectly in one of those Bed Bath & Beyond carts.
Like, it's only a 5 liter keg, sir.
I don't care. I drink from this.
I guess you better crack another one.
So you've been homebrewing for 15 years.
Yes.
Why Dearborn?
It's close to home.
Okay. It's an easy answer there.
Yeah, it's the neighborhood I know. You know, I just felt more comfortable going into basically my backyard that I kind of know the trends and the people. And frankly, I could see a need. And it was funny. We had a lot of delays with our contractor, so I had to fight a lot of rumors where – people would always come up and say, how much trouble is the city giving you? I said, no, the city's fantastic. The city's been calling, asking what they can do to help, you know, to make sure they're not in our way.
Right.
We just ran across your prototypical contractor nightmare where they were always out so busy chasing their next job, they'd forget to show up and work on the
finish your job
that they had signed.
Yeah, that's so. What I was kind of wondering about, you know, how the city reacted to that, because it's like you said, is that they're really, other than you guys, there's what, Downey, which is still opening.
Yep.
And that's it. In
we
Dearborn.
Are, by all legal records in the city of Dearborn, the first brewery ever to be licensed within the city limits.
Wow.
In fact, when I first went to the city and started asking questions and trying to get out ahead of things, they were super helpful, but a lot of the answers were, we're not sure. Let us check with the legal department and we'll get back to you.
That's what I would think it would be something like that, because it just don't know.
Yeah. And I think we've when talking with some of the other guests that we've had on the show, that seems to be, it's like, I don't know. They like scratch their head. Like, they don't even know where to go, where to look, you know, what to think. The whole idea of a brewery is still very foreign, I guess we'll say. So a lot of these cities, and it's still, you know, rather new. I mean, the idea of a brewery has been around for a long time, but maybe not into the scale that we're seeing today, maybe.
Well, and I think it's just human nature that a lot of cities, if they don't have someone trying to open one, they don't spend a lot of time thinking about, okay, how should we classify this or that?
Right, yeah. I mean, I'm from a small city in Harper Woods, and, you know, it's mainly residential. There's really no commercial. I mean, you have the mall, but I have a feeling the mall is going to close.
Oh, that's still open.
Yeah, it's still open.
I'm actually shocked to hear
that. Yeah, I know.
You didn't see the
lockdown?
When the door is open for the new Air Jordan.
They had to close the mall down.
Twice?
Yeah.
Twice.
But but Harper Woods doesn't have that appeal. You know, you're not going to bring in people from outside, you know, to go to like a bar or a brewery or anything like that.
Well, there's not too much in Harper Woods. It's pretty much the entire city is residential with
pretty
a few
much.
Random.
And then you have the mall. But once the mall's closed, then what do you have? You have houses.
Yeah.
And Walgreens.
That's it. And Walgreens. Technically, that Walgreens is not in Harper Woods.
You've got that diploma high school.
Oh, the community school thingy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can get your GED up around Kelly right there.
I think that's the second location of that now.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, they took the old Harperwoods Community Center, which actually is an adjoint building with the VFW in the American Legion, which is on the other side of 94. That was that same school, and then now they have the one on Kelly. Yeah. I'm all for education. Well,
I've driven by it so many times because obviously that's where.
Well, you know. Yeah, it's big, bright, and orange. It's kind of hard not to miss.
The city of Dearborn's been really, really good. What about customers? Are you seeing a lot of retention? Are you seeing, you know?
We've got a nice number of regulars already, and surprisingly, we're still seeing a lot of new people that are just finding out about us and mm-hmm. things like that. So.
How big is your facility? How big?
2,500 square feet, give or take.
How many? That's about 100 people, 80 people?
79.
79. Yep. Okay. All right. No, not too big, not too small. You know, pretty fair size. Yeah.
If we get packed, it's pretty crowded in here. So. Especially since the space is not quite, but close to, if you include like restrooms and mm-hmm. the little storage office in the back.
Right.
It's about 50-50 as far as like public space and brewing and space.
Then, right. And yeah, I mean, well, the brewing space is more important than actual. Because if you don't have the room to brew it, then, you know, what good?
Have
you know?
The beer to sell to customers.
That's been one of the oddest things going from home brewing to mm-hmm. being a quote professional, you know, commercial brewer now. A friend of ours was in last night. She's a BJCP judge. And it's just odd because I was in the back counting kegs, basically doing inventory to see, you know, okay, we're going to put this brew schedule together.
Mm-hmm.
And I came out there and she was there and she was kind of laughing at me because I was shaking my head. She's like, well, what's wrong? I said, I never thought I'd be in a position where I'd be sitting here telling myself, I only have 25-gallon kegs of this left. I need to brew more. I got 100 gallons of this beer, and I'm telling myself I have to make more of it.
So how did she rate your beer?
She likes it. It's great having a friend that I've known for years who's a Grandmaster BJCP judge, because when we roll something out or if we ever have questions about it, it's like, here, just be honest with me. Just
a non-biased opinion.
Yeah, and she's not afraid to say, you probably want to – fix yank this. That.
Okay.
So. Has she said that before?
Yeah.
Oh,
okay. Okay. All right.
Nice. Well, that's a good friend right there.
I am not shy about pulling a beer if need be. It just makes more sense to say, you know what? It didn't turn out. We're gonna pull it off the tap. It just you do too much damage to yourself otherwise. I think.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, that's a good way to
You don't want to discount it to try to return profit, because then people are still going to taste it and still know and be like, oh, that's why it was discounted. Then people like me who would do it just to do it.
Yeah.
Like I'll take the $1 beer.
And then
sure.
You force yourself to drink it even if you didn't like it. Like, oh, this is garbage. I'm going to drink it anyways.
Yeah,
like,
I'm not really one big fan of drain pouring anything. So I'm going to be interested to see how I'm going to do with the odd side ales that we're going to crack open.
That's getting drunk, period.
The potential of quote-unquote infection. Use that term loosely. Dan shakes his head. He's like, it's not infectious.
Well, no, because we were here in Drafting Table last week. People who have never homebrewed or brewed have no idea what infection is. Now, you've seen an infected beer. Yep. It's very, very obvious when it happens. It doesn't just hide. In fact, you have a computer in front of you. You can Google infected beer and see what infected beer looks like. That's why I laughed, and I forget his name from Drafting Table. I feel like an idiot. He agreed with me in the whole thing. It's obviously it's not that, but – you see it online, all these idiots, oh, it's an infected batch. I'm like, no, it's probably not. They would have known.
Yeah, it definitely was a an interesting thing to see, as it's still going on in regards to, Odd Side, and there was Mocha Hipster, and wasn't there a third one that I can't?
The Bourbon Barrel Imperial Mocha.
I drank enough of both of those to tell you they weren't infected.
So people were saying batches. That like one bottle in a six pack was good, and another one was infected.
That doesn't even make sense.
They all have, to me, from what I've seen, they all have the same date. So
yeah, I don't think they made
one is then it'd be to me it would be all of them.
Yeah, it would be, which is why it's funny to listen to people that don't know what they're talking about talk about it.
Yeah, a lot of pictures on Google Image.
Oh, you looked at
a lot of photos.
Is it pretty much a difference between looking at a pair of lungs from the American Cancer Society?
Some of them are close.
Close. I mean, yeah.
Is it a little rough to look at?
No, it's not. I'm just trying to make sense of it all.
Are we talking like Willis McGahee knee injury bed to look at?
No.
Sid Vicious leg break.
See, certain injuries are stuck in the mind, and that's.
I was a hockey fan growing up, so you know Clint Malarchuk tops.
Was that the goalie that had to have the emergency tracheotomy? Yeah.
Yeah, he had his jugular slashed right there on the ice.
Oh, Lord. Oh my gosh!
Was that from the goalie skate coming up?
Yeah, it was.
He was the goalie, and the other player skate came out. Yep. And he just immediately started skating off the ice.
He just like collapsed right there, and you can just see the red stuff get bigger and bigger.
Yeah.
And,
there was a pretty serious injury that happened not too long ago, and I think it was Lundqvist who actually got a penalty. So this guy got like rocked on the ice and. The play didn't stop, and they're skating around. Nothing's happening, and Lundqvist is like, "What the hell?" Like he's pointing to the guy, trying to get the ref's attention. Like, "Hey!" So he literally turns and he pushes the net off the little
off the moorings.
Yeah. So he's like, "All right, I'll take the penalty, but this guy needs to get off the ice. I don't care."
Speaking of pushing the net off the ice, it was about 2 years ago. Did anyone catch the highlights? There was a goalie. He had a 2-on-none coming at him.
Oh, yeah.
The minors, and he went, well, I'll fix this. And he just leaned back and just knocked the net off.
Yeah, because at that point, that's going to be a penalty shot.
Yeah, it's an automatic penalty shot, but now it's 1-on-1 instead of 2-on-none. So
I'll take the odds.
They closed that loophole real quick from what I understand.
I wouldn't be surprised if that's done automatically, that it turns into an automatic goal by the opposing team. You have to.
Right.
It's not. I mean, that's smart. That's knowing the rules. That's definitely what that is knowing the rules. As we're looking through, have you guys drank the no rules yet?
Yeah, I'm already done.
Yeah.
You're already done with it. So a lot of people are saying that there's a lot of cinnamon in this. Do you taste the cinnamon?
I didn't taste it at all. I thought it was pretty good.
See, my thing is that I'm just as your wife, Ken, I am a bit of a baker. And one of my favorite things to make is carrot cake, and I tend to triple on the cinnamon because I love cinnamon, and there's not as much in here as I was thinking people were saying, as they kept saying, oh, there's such a cinnamon taste to it. There was like, to me, it's, if anything, I taste more of the coconut than anything else. And that's really what's hitting me like right off the bat.
Did you get some?
No, I haven't had any.
Oh, we got plenty. There's some cups right over there. Yeah,
plenty of it.
We definitely want to make sure. One of the big things, as I'm sure you've listened to a few of our episodes before you came on, prepare yourself mentally.
I just feel like, what am I walking into?
I got a little nervous with all the natty daddy talk.
It was our 25th show, and it was a 25-ounce can. Give me a little credit.
Eva, let's bring in a gift.
I still find it crazy that we actually had people on our Untapped profile
that were toasting
the Natty Daddy. Yeah. I'm like, oh my gosh.
What are you doing?
That wasn't that bad.
No, it wasn't bad, but it wasn't good either, but it was the fact that
it was drinkable.
We're drinking Natty Daddy on a show that we don't normally talk about natural beer.
Well, natural
beer.
This is the beer that grows within
ice,
the ground.
Natural, whatever. I don't know. Whatever the hell.
It grows on a beer tree. You pluck it off when it's ripe and
the beer tree.
Right at 25 ounces.
Yeah, we'll have to drill into the beer table beer so we tree. Can get it out of the ground.
The biggest kick I got out of it was right hot on the heels of listening to the episode came the announcement that Colt 45 was bringing back Billy D. Williams.
Yeah. Oh my god! I didn't hear this. No.
What? Oh, you didn't hear that?
No, that's awesome.
I'm assuming that's going to be episode number 45. Is the Colt 45 episode?
Well, wait till episode 40.
Episode 40, you're coming back from Europe that day.
See, I was hoping they wouldn't bring it back just because I had this. I don't know. I just had this dream that Billy D. Williams would become the new most interesting man in the world.
Oh, jeez. when he's not turning his back on his friends.
Right. Billy D. Williams
is drinking a Dos Equis.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, so yeah, those natty daddies are definitely an interesting conversation. But we got episode 40. Eric Brigman will be back.
Oh wow!
And spoiler alert: I know it's April 1st, but we'll be giving away a pair of tickets to this Saturday part of the Summer Beer Festival over at Ypsilanti. Right, will Dearborn be participating in that, or is that kind of like a future down the line?
We're looking into it. If we can swing it this year, we'll definitely try to be there. If not, it's definitely on the agenda for the future. So.
Probably might be, if you don't make it for that one, we'll eat the one in Easter Market. Probably be more realistic at that point.
Probably.
Rock
on. What about the one in Marquette? That's not too far of a drive, right?
Actually, that would be the one my wife's family would probably push for the most.
Okay. Oh. Are they Youpers?
They are Youpers, and I almost brought the wit beer in a Taquamenon Falls growler today based on the Taquamenon Falls.
I was going to say, we talked about Taquamenon Falls. Yeah, one of the random breweries out there. But you did bring us a gift. What did you bring us?
Yeah, we've got our
a very big bag here. People that are listening live can't see it.
Well, we'll take a picture.
It's a cooler from work.
Yeah. Watch on Twitch.
It's an InterSafe battery bag.
It is.
Twitch.tv.
1-800-CRANK-IT.
Twitch.tv/betteronDraftPodcast. So, Interstate Batteries, official non-sponsor of the Better on Draft podcast.
That bag has 125 cold cranking amps.
I don't know about that, but it has 64 ounces of wit beer in it.
Oh, that's all that matters now.
So we'll definitely start pouring that around and see what we all like. I'm definitely a wit beer fan in regards to beer styles. I'm not one that leans towards the IPAs or the barrel age, so... When these releases come out and everyone goes crazy for them, like, if I can
more
get
for me,
I try to like, I'll try to get a bottle for the show so like everyone else can have it. And I'm just like, I'll try a little, but I don't want to promise anything. Like that Mango Magnifico, I'm dreading trying.
Oh, I know you are.
Oh gosh, like somebody else is gonna have to start talking during that point because I'm sure I'll probably be like, oh, too spicy.
I've got some habanero sculpin. Might have to mix some of that. See what.
Oh, you know, I think we got enough Mango Magnifico. Yeah. You can have the rest of my my drinks. You can call it maybe
your drinks.
My drink.
I'll buy you a drink.
Thank you, T-Pain.
You got some purple drink over there.
I guess this would be orange drink right now.
All right, Kel.
This is an orange soda.
Well, it's close. Whatever.
I was going to say, did you see they're doing a reunion show for that?
I did see that. Oh, my God. All that reunion.
Every 90s kid is basically screaming inside because of that.
That's awesome.
So your wife works at the brewery, correct?
Yes.
On purpose or for necessity?
A little bit of both.
A little bit of both. All right. So is she manning the table right now back at the brewery?
Yep.
Or okay.
Yeah, and she was going to try and get dialed in, so I'd... For all I know, they're actually listening to this live right now.
Uh-oh.
Oh, boy. Wow. Hopefully they're not watching
the video.
Hopefully
we won't say anything bad. Yeah.
Well, they say if they have TVs, they could probably watch us on Twitch. You can actually watch the show.
Well, you could probably already see from some of the tweets and the Facebook posts that went out talking about this how much respect I get.
Where
they were making fun of me. There was the one tweet about, you know, will John make an April Fool out of himself?
Oh, no.
Oh,
it's like, and then I see a thing. Hi, boss. Hi, boss. Great.
Nice. Nothing like a little bit of embarrassment.
No, as long as you have fun.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to try the no rules real quick. So if somebody wants to take the ball and start talking about anything, maybe, you know.
Anything
really. Anything? Craft beer related. So.
Oh, you said that just in time.
I'm assuming I had, like, my conscience was just like, please clarify what to talk about. So
let's stick with
Rob over there. I'm just going to push it right
away. He's
just
going to push it away
from you guys because all of a sudden it's just going to go into whatever subject.
Well, here I go. But, John, what was the first beer you brewed? Going back as a homebrew, what was the first one that you, if you remember what kind you
Not counting the disastrous Mr. Beer foray that split
everyone
me into,
says
we,
that
we all started on this thing.
I never did
because we all found them at Bloodbath and Beyond for
Bloodbath and Beyond
for like $20.
That's where I would shop.
Yes,
but I call it that because about the only time I get dragged in there is usually right around Christmas, and mm-hmm. So it kind of earns its nickname.
With your stacks of 20% off coupons.
Of course, you've gone much further than I have, because that was as far as I got, was the Mr. Beer sitting in a basement. And, you know, I made a pretty decent stout. But, you know, at that point, I was busy with other things and I have never brewed another batch since. I've been wanting to. And now that we have a bigger house, I might
be able to do something like that. You can.
That's the goal when that is, we move out of my apartment is to buy some type of home brewing kit.
That is the thought that is just completely – I'm just letting it throw out there. And as I'm throwing it out there, it's the realization that you have not talked to the fiance about anything of that nature.
Just don't tell her.
You can have a little corner.
You don't make a discussion. You just do it.
No. This
am I the minority on this one?
This is not a do and ask for forgiveness.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've been married for a while now, and this is not the auto industry where it's easier to ask for forgiveness than permission.
This isn't like politics. Just do whatever and ask.
I mean, I have made my mistakes, but, you know, with Dean and I tried to make sure that I certainly asked for permission beforehand. But, I mean, one of the good things about this house is having, you know, it was built in 1927. So I have this cold storage room that's in the basement. And it's probably
is it a regular basement or a Michigan basement?
It's a Michigan basement.
Okay.
And it's basically this cold storage room that's under the back porch. And it's probably like a good 150 square feet. And it's pretty much where all the beer that I have is in there right now. And last I checked, I believe she said that room was pretty much mine. So
the cold room in the basement is yours.
The cold room
is like, I'll go sleep there.
You know what that is? That's the if you mess up, that's your room.
That's why I have
you're in the doghouse.
I got slippers.
Go. I was gonna say blankets, maybe a heating, electric space heater. Yeah.
Don't want to do kerosene.
A futon.
maybe a handheld TV for you to watch, like, you know, 24/7.
If I have to go that far.
I think I still have my dad's.
Got some rat ears.
The handheld TV with the long ass antenna.
My dad bought it because he worked for General Motors and he could get away with that stuff.
Nice. You know how badass those were back in the day?
Oh, yeah.
Those are watching TV.
Yeah.
I'm watching TV in the car. Live TV. Not my VHS player that can play any VHS that I bring. This is live.
right next to the house phone I have in the car.
Oh, my God.
I was going to say, I don't think I've ever seen a house phone in a car. Oh, geez.
Those huge phones.
Remember the bag phones?
Yeah, the bag phones.
I went on a plane not too long ago, and they still had the phones in the seat right in front of you.
Oh, dude.
Where the headrest, you could grab a
damn
phone.
Regional.
I know.
That plane hasn't been upgraded in a while.
Right.
I want to check the maintenance records on that
exactly.
one.
Exactly.
I
want
to say it was a puddle jumper from, like, Detroit to Chicago. So, like, those flights, especially if you're on, like, American Airlines, because you fly American Eagle, and it's two people row on one side and a one-person row on the other. And for people, the height of myself, Dan, you know, Rob.
Yeah, where you can't stand up in the plane.
You can't stand up in the plane. Yeah, you're creaked. Your neck is creaked the whole time.
I don't understand. Wait, what are you guys talking about? It's because I'm short.
Yes, you are short. Just a little. Get it? Just a little.
You didn't see the trouble he had with the curtains back here.
This is the second or the third week now.
Did you add that clip up there, or is that something that was there?
I think that was lying around.
The clip was sitting here on the table, so I said, all right.
I think Rob, did you use it last week?
No.
I
said you're wearing my sunglasses last week.
This is the second or third week now that we've been doing the show, and it's actually daylight outside. And unfortunately for Dan, he has like the worst possible angle.
Oh, yeah. If those were closed.
He could sit somewhere else.
Yeah, these curtains are not closed. He's got the worst possible angle.
He could sit over here at, you know, microphone number
no
one.
No one sits at that one.
He just wants to look like a badass wearing his sunglasses on
that
Twitch.
Is true. It's pretty rare I'm not wearing them. I don't know what I'm doing today.
That first night we were running on Twitch, the whole show.
This is my time to shine.
Right.
Sunglasses on.
It's like, I got the bad motherfucker wallet right now. I'm going to sit here and I'm going to chill on this show.
Got that chain wallet and so you don't lose it.
I'm not wearing my chain wallet. I've never never worn that here. Come on.
You've never worn it here?
Well, no, I've got the chain, not the, you know, the, oh. for the, yeah.
Okay. Just not the wallet attached to it. Somebody took the wallet, so you just got the chain for prosperity.
No. All right, moving on. Yeah. What are we doing now?
I'm trying to kill the next 20 seconds before we take our break.
You don't let me talk, so I talk about something not beer related, and then we're talking about fucking chains that I would wear. Not quite sure how that happened.
I don't know either, but we're going to take a quick break.
John's we'll already thinking, like, what the hell?
Am I yeah, he's wondering who we walked into.
All right, we'll be right back.
I listened in ahead of time. I knew.
We'll be right back with the Better on Draft Pod. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Better on Draft Podcast. I am Ken, along with Dan, Nick, and Rob. We've got Dearborn Brewing in the house. Welcome back. We are actually trying their beer now after 40 minutes of just talking about absolutely nothing, including chain wallets.
I like the look you gave me, too.
Look right amazing. At Dan. Yeah.
Thank you.
Chain wallets.
So what do we have here from Dearborn Brewing? John, you want
to? We call it our West Village Whip Beer.
West Village Whip Beer.
Yeah, we named it West Village because the site of the old Jacobson's department store in Dearborn was redeveloped, and it's now called West Village Commons. And there's a bar there named Moose's Martini Pub, and they are actually the first bar to carry our beer, and they are carrying the wit beer, so we named it West Village Wit.
Nice.
Plus, just sounded like a fun phonetic type of, you know, rhyming type things.
I thought maybe East Village or, you know, the East version was taken, so you had to go with the West instead.
Very, very smooth, very clean.
I like this.
This is very good.
This is a day drinking beer, a drink that you could pretty much just
17%
drink.
Yeah, no. Sipping beer.
This ain't no higher math or
right.
No, this clocks in at a mere 6%.
Oh, so. That's it.
That's for nothing.
I think that's disqualified from the show. Go for it. Please go drain for this 10. I can't drink it anymore. Well,
no, don't. No, this is definitely, you know, daytime, summer, outside drinking kind of beer. I could definitely see that.
And this would kind of be like my lawnmower beer, is that I would just something like this, because like you said, it is pretty clean.
Yeah,
it is hella crisp. And
how crisp?
Hella.
All right.
Hella.
I have absolutely no idea why I just dropped that at all.
Were you thinking South Park at that time?
No, not at all. I haven't watched South Park in years.
I was going to say Gwen Stefani, but that's holla back, not hella
that's
back.
Holla.
I did hear Thrift Shop on the way up here. So.
Oh, boy.
Oh, hold on. I got to break in with breaking news. We just picked up our first follower.
Oh, we got a follower.
We have a follower.
It took 3 weeks. All right.
Oh, hell yes. Gosh.
All right. I guess we're going to have to give a shout out to the Wootest Owl.
The Wootest Owl. Not just any owl.
Who's the Wootest Owl?
The Wootest Owl.
Is that one of you guys?
I love how you're.
No, it's not me.
This is not a follower own show.
The Wootest Owl.
Well, I mean, we watch it on our own laptop, Xbox, and phone just to get a few extra followers.
You know. I wonder how long it'll take for him to unfollow us. That's how freaking nuts we are.
See, now, and that's the thing with Twitch is that I don't know if I mean, people usually have some sort of ceremonious thing for whenever followers hit. So, I mean, does that mean that we have to come up with something now?
Well,
do we basically cheers to the Wootest Owl?
I guess so. So, all right, here. Want to start that now?
All right.
So,
what are we doing?
We're cheersing.
To the Wootest Owl.
Do we have to pour some out for
us? No. Oh, no, you're going to pour it right into my mouth.
If it's Natty Daddy, then.
Yeah, if it's Natty Daddy, then, yeah,
he says on the chat, yes, you do.
He's in chat?
Yeah.
Oh, why am I not in chat? Oh, boy, I'm going to have to jump on there. Now I'm excited.
Yeah, no. Twitch.tv/BetterOnDraftPodcast. There's a little chat thing in the window.
Yeah. Tell your friends come troll. I'll counter troll, but just be aware.
Dan's gone for the evening. He is busy on the chat of Better on Draft Podcast.
I'm not a dude, by the way, he says. I'm not a dude.
I'm not a dude, he says. I love how you said that.
We appreciate the follow. We really do.
Thank you.
Thank you for your support.
So with Dearborn, are you guys planning anything in the future in regards to production-based and bottling, canning, and anything like that?
We're getting our bright tanks kind of – well, to be blunt, we're getting the hang of putting things into the bright tanks and getting it carbonated. As soon as we get the label approvals and all that fun legal stuff, We're looking at doing canning. So
yeah, you got to make sure you get your labels approved. Founders.
Ooh. That was not intended as a shot. I just.
Oh no! I made a shot.
He made it a shot.
Oh, don't worry. This shot at Founders is not a approved by the Dearborn Brewing Company. There you go. How's that?
Macro swole doesn't know what they're doing.
I'm a big fan of not getting like unexpected fines or lawsuits in the mail. So I'm a big fan of not going to jail.
Oh, hey, it's a letter from Sam Adams. Hey, what's this letter for? Oh,
have you?
The fines for sending like non-compliant labels like across state lines, and given our proximity to like Toledo and stuff like that,
right?
It wouldn't take much for one. And yeah, like the fine for a case of beer could pretty much wipe out the whole profit for a batch. Yeah. So
I mean, if you're not backed by a giant major brewery in South America, you probably don't have that opportunity to be able to pay that fine.
Jeez, are you just going to continue to just like Steph Curry all over this right now?
Oh, you know,
Steph Curry.
Did you know we're going to have Founders in the house here coming up soon?
Isn't that like June?
Yeah, June.
Oh, okay. So
I mean, it's within our line of guests,
so
but we have
jail sentence away from now, we'll have someone in here.
Oh my God. Anyways, after let me rephrase that. After I derailed that conversation, that's for sure.
I mean, if you're gonna kill him softly. Good Lord.
Killing me.
Don't even bother.
I'll leave that to Lauryn Hill.
Is that who sang that song?
That's the food.
Not originally, yeah. Roberta Flack sang that.
Okay, Roberta.
Oh.
No, don't. Just don't.
Rob.
Moving on.
Damn.
So, obviously, I think I know the answer. Do you guys serve food over at Dearborn Brewing?
No, we don't.
You don't?
No, we're strictly a production microbrewery. So, by law, we're not allowed to.
Okay.
But people can bring food in. We have menus on site. We have two or three, depending on the day and the staffing levels at the places. Restaurants will run stuff over.
Okay.
So, oh, nice. We have the...
We have LA Bistro right next to
those
us.
Those who don't typically do delivery will deliver to you just because...
Because we order so much
from them. Always good to have.
But it depends on whether or not they have enough people and whether or not they're busy.
Of course.
And stuff like that. So that one's a little hit and miss.
Do you guys plan on expanding to a kitchen anytime soon, or is that not in the works?
It's in the long-term plans. It's a little early to say yet when exactly that would be, or when or where. You know, you get into the technicalities and the weird legalities of how, you know, if you're going to have a kitchen, then it needs to be brewed in like a physically separate space. So you have to basically like self-distribute to yourself by going out the door and going around the corner and going back in the door. And then then you're legal. So
that's I was going to say, because we saw Roke's production facility and that thing's huge.
Oh, yeah.
In comparison to like, you know, some of the places, I don't think your guys' place is going to be that big. Or is that big, I should say.
It's like walking through Home Depot at.
Oh, yeah, but that's what they had the Home Depot shelves there.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're filming Pure Brews America there tonight. That's that Shannon Long show when we had her on before the Winter Fest.
Yeah.
Or the Fall Fest, I should say.
Fest,
yep.
Yeah.
That was a long time ago.
It was like episode 3.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, she was one of the very first guests. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, we've done very, very well with guests in regards to bringing people in locally as well as majorly. I think it's kind of hard when we don't have a guest, really, because we're just like, what's going on? I guess we'll talk about beer for once. let's talk about beer. We don't have someone to interview, so as we do have someone to interview, and by interview, I mean we're pretty much just shooting the shit in here. Ooh, I said a bad word. Where's the FCC?
I dropped the F-bomb earlier.
I know.
Oh, did you? 10 minutes ago.
I think I actually dropped my first F-bomb on this show. So.
You guys don't run on the 8-second delay?
No, there is no dumb button here. Dumb button the whole show,
that.
Pretty much.
Yeah, no.
Wait.
Like the show with Mike's on Happy Hour?
Oh, Mike's on Happy Hour. Wait. I'm missing something. Wow.
They were dropping bombs like the entire night.
Oh, yeah. That show was pretty. Yeah. That was their tamest, too.
Yeah, I know.
That was like episode 4 or 5, too, when we had those two. Rustic Leaf.
Yeah, Rustic Leaf.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
So with Dearborn Brewing, you guys are obviously a small-time operation, not too many staff. You know, what's on the docket for future beers? Like, what do you have that you want to make, whether it's seasonal or upcoming or anything like that?
Right now we've got a cream ale that's in the fermenter, and they keep checking it daily to, you know, take a hydrometer reading, and the Krausen's just kind of – beer's a living, breathing thing, and
right.
every day I climb up there hoping that it's kind of dropped and, you know, it's starting to clear, and every day it's – it hasn't shaped itself into a giant middle finger yet, but I'm kind of getting the impression that's what it's trying to tell
You're
me.
You're waiting for that.
It's just kind of saying, nope, we're not done yet. We like it up here. And then this weekend we're going to brew a pilot batch, so it'll be like 10 gallons. We're going to do a Bavarian Weiss beer.
Okay.
After that, we've got plans right now to bring back an American Red that
oh,
we had
okay.
I was going to say, yeah, I'm still waiting for the five-letter word there, and that's a brown ale. Where's your brown ale
Yes,
at?
The brown.
Probably by fall we'll get that one back around.
Back around. Okay, so you've brewed one before.
We brewed one before. It was pretty well received. And
then you took it off.
Yeah. And
you're disappointing him right now.
I was going to say, yeah.
I really thought with a seven-barrel system and eight taps, I'd have a lot of time to kind of – you know, brew things and work in different recipes and everything. And
taking the answer is no.
Like I was saying over the break, it's like counting inventory last night. It's like, I've only got like 25 kegs of this. I have to make more of it because by the time it ferments, these are going to be mostly gone.
Right.
It's like, and so it's weird juggling the production scheduling and certain beers based on the seasons. You just have a tendency to go, oh, brown ale's not really. Well, to me, it would be. I'll drink an oatmeal stout in the middle of summer. I don't care.
I drink it all the time.
But when you try and keep a, you know, half a brain commercially, you're like, that's more of a fall beer. So it starts getting pushed towards the.
Is there anything that you've wanted to try, like something that maybe you haven't brewed before that you really are itching, like maybe a Belgian strong? Or you talked about through one of our, like, not our conversations on the email, but our conversations here between. Segments, but a mead that you brewed too. Obviously, yeah. That's a different license, but
yeah, and we're going to try and get that eventually. Okay. The meads aren't a big part of wanting to get that. Those would be fun little one-off things, mm-hmm. you know, to be able to have around the tap room.
Special release kind of stuff, or like just, you know, for those that might not be into beer, but might be into something different.
That's really the biggest thing is. Because a small winemaker's license lets you do wines, ciders, meads.
Yep.
So you can have a couple of things, you know, whether it's – so, you know, you have something that could be considered gluten-free, whether you have something that could be, you know, people don't like beer but they like wine.
Yeah.
So, you know, they can come in with their wife or – we have wives that come in without their husbands because their husbands don't like beer. They like wine. So
what?
Huh? No, I don't judge.
There's such a thing.
No.
It's not like unicorns. There's such a thing.
There's plenty, and I think everybody's taste is adapting because there's so many choices now that you can actually like what you like instead of either not liking anything or just pretending and forcing, you know, whether it's a beer, a wine, a cider, a mead. I mean, there's just so many options right now. It's ridiculous, right. Especially you walk into your brewery right now and you have, what, seven, eight taps?
Eight taps, six beers going right now.
So you have six beers, six choices, six very separate choices, too. Yep. They're not – it's not, you know, IPA 1, IPA 2, the double IPA, the triple IPA.
I've been to those breweries. it's been a while since we started working on things, but I've been to those breweries.
We had a brewery on here not too long ago, and they actually judge a brewery by their IPA. That's like the standard in regards to what they do, and I find it funny because I don't like most, so I wouldn't like most breweries.
It's like judging a Chinese restaurant by its almond chicken.
That's a good way to put it.
I was going
to
say, I do that.
That's
the only thing I eat from Chinese restaurants is the almond chicken.
I will say this about IPAs. I will joke around about it. I think I actually have out on our What's on Tap page. I think under the IPA listing, it actually says, you know, you're not allowed to be a brewery unless you have one. You know, there's a line like that. You know, it's just, and I actually said that to someone shortly after we opened. I said, well, you know, it's the law. If you're a brewery, you have to have an IPA. Really? See, oh yeah, it's right there on the application.
It's on the brewery.
That's the thing.
I'm trying to think what IPA that Budweiser would have then. So the only thing I could think of is Goose Islands or maybe Elysian or 10 Barrel. One of them's got to have an IPA.
Yeah, because, well, Goose does just have the just straight Goose Island IPA.
Well, the 312s, they're white, and then they have the Pale Ale, which is a green label, I believe.
Trying to follow, like,
no, because the IPA is a green label.
Is the IPA the green label?
The IPA is the green label, yeah.
It could be like Yingling. They released their IPL last year. That was quite interesting, to say the least. I think that was did we have that on the show? Did I bring the IPL?
I think you did.
Oh, yeah. You did?
I thought I did.
Yeah, I think you did.
Was that one where we were so drunk we don't remember what?
Probably.
Yeah. I'm gonna go
it's
on
probably
a
on one of the episodes that we did before.
One of the single-digit episodes where we're falling
no, actually,
down.
I might have been, might be a double-digit.
Oh, well, wow. No, because I think I got the IPL while I was in Columbus. And Columbus, like, I went there 5 times in November, so it had to have been one of those. So it might have been single or early, like early 10s. Teens, whatever you want to call it.
Oh, yeah.
The aughts.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You've got the cups, sir, if you could pour me one of those.
Mango, mango.
Sean, would you like one?
Oh, spicy beer, I'm in.
Oh, he's
in.
Yes. Yeah.
Someone's in the minority here. I don't know who it is. Someone at this table.
That around.
Dude, that's horrible to say about Nick.
Nick's the one that brought it.
Oh, okay.
Wait a minute.
I was going to say.
Brewer? Is Nick the Brewer bringing my favorite porter?
I was going to say, yeah, Black Lotus should just, like, bring us beer. No more. We don't need the falling down beer in the keg. We need Black Lotus up here.
Yeah.
Is it Nick I'd the Brewer leave. Punch in the
have
face
you, have
beer
you,
town?
Yeah. Have you been to Black Lotus since they pretty much had a brand new brewer come in and refix everything?
I have not.
I was going to say you don't have too much.
Yeah, it's actually kind of embarrassing and kind of comical when we're at the brewery because people will come in and they'll say, oh, you know. You own a brewery. You're into all these craft beers. You must go to all these places. I'm like, no, I don't.
People
I
don't
have
know.
A brewery.
You don't have time.
People don't know.
That was the same
thing. I would
love to.
It was the same thing with Sellermans. Like, I talked to Sellermans. He's like, I don't have time to go chase beer or anything like that. I got to be here and working. And
well, how much do we have to push Dominic just to get up here for an hour?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was, like, pretty
yeah.
rough getting
yeah, that
one
was,
of them up
that
here.
Was rough. I mean,
they're down the road.
But yeah. I guess that's one of the things that I know with some of the breweries that – even if they don't have time, they tend to have this collaborative. There's always this collaborative effort with other breweries. So I guess with, you know, being in Dearborn and you being one of two, I mean, have you talked to Downey or have you talked to any other breweries to kind of – I guess when you guys were actually making the facility, did you consult with them, see what they say they would do or
– I talked to the guys out at Farmington. Quite a bit when we were in the process of opening up because we were kind of in the same time frame and things like that. The guys from Downey were down. Well, one of them was down Wednesday night. We were talking a little bit. They're still waiting on some of their licensing and stuff like that. But, yeah, as soon as they get up and running, I'd love to do something because, hey, the more the merrier. I don't view that type of thing coming in as a bad thing. There's a Bar Louie going in. Down the street from
oh,
us
goodness.
Before long, and
oh boy,
commercial.
You know, the more people that you know we can bring into the city and into the downtown area, though, you know, that's it's. I'm a big believer in the rising tide. There, mm-hmm. you know, it just you get more people around. You get people. We saw at St. Patrick's Day where you know we'd have these huge groups come in, and they'd come in, and everyone would have a beer, maybe two, and then they'd just bounce on down to the next place,
right?
And then the wind knocked out power to half the strip, and oh, we had like 40 people
oh,
come walking into the brewery at once. And God bless her, Jessica, our bartender, was there by herself at that point because we had cut the mid shift because it was getting later in the night. And she had this look on her face that was like equal parts, oh, my God, I'm going to make all the money. And, oh, I am so going to get it oh, handed man. To me here.
Right. So I'm not going to knock Bar Louie. They make a damn good fried egg burger.
Ooh, I'm gonna have to check that out.
And they make a damn good burger with a fried egg on it.
You know who makes good food at their bar?
Who?
Three Nicks.
Three Nicks Scoreboard over in Allen Park.
See, that's the thing. I keep hearing you guys talk about that, and that's another embarrassment because it's right in my backyard, and I just
oh,
don't
yes.
get a
you're,
chance
you're right
to go
there.
Down there.
Right.
You know,
right there.
What's my mind when I'm what's funny is that Ryan, one of the owners, was supposed to be on here tonight with you, so that would have been quite the the embarrassing admitment yeah. right in front of him. He wouldn't have cared. He would have been like, yeah, just come on down. I'll hook you up.
I mean, it's just we had Rusted Crow Distillery open up in – we opened in August. They opened, I think it was end of January or something like that. They're right – again, they're right in my backyard. I could get in my car and be there in less than 5 minutes, you know, and I haven't been able to make it.
I had lived in Taylor for probably the better part of a good 15 years, and I know ever since they opened – I mean, I would always take Telegraph home. I'd always miss that place. I don't know why. It just seems so hidden. But I've always
off of Van Born and like Southfield, so you really wouldn't see it off of Telegraph.
No. I'm talking about Rusted Crow.
We're not even talking about our sponsor. Yeah. We just dropped the name and moved away.
I was going to push it right back to Three Nicks because I was wondering what else did they have there.
Well, they have 28 tap handles. Every Friday they randle a beer, and pretty much every single major beer release that they have, including upcoming No Rules, they will be putting on draft. So check them out, Three Nicks Scoreboard. You can like them on Facebook, follow them on Twitter. And we appreciate all those people. Say hi to them, and don't mess with the jukebox there, that's for sure.
Oh, we've done that. Did we get in trouble for that?
We did not get in trouble for that. No. I don't think anybody knows what we did to that jukebox. We were talking about the jukebox with the we had Metallica's One.
Yep.
Over here.
That was way back in the day at Wayne State.
We had some YG dropping up.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, when we go to a bar, we always play Iron Butterfly and Agata DeVita live, which is they're pretty karaoke good. They're on.
Sorry, I went a little Eddie Vedder on that one.
Let's say take you guys to On the Rocks real quick and get it out of your system. So yeah, like that song's 22 to 25 minutes depending on what live version you get. So. Wings are up 1-0. That's good to know.
That's a very good thing.
Yeah.
They have, hopefully, this is one of the few times where I'm going to say go Blues because the Blues are playing Boston tonight.
Yeah.
And do you, obviously, in your very few spare minutes that you have of the day, do you follow hockey or anything?
I'm slowly getting back into it. Being at the brewery and it's on TV a lot, I've sort of gotten back into it. I will openly admit that after the last lockout, I pretty much said I was done with the NHL and
same.
Walked away. And
what happened to me?
You're talking to someone who grew up in a hockey family and actually has a picture of his brother checking Steve Yzerman down in Carolina.
Oh really?
Yeah. My brother actually made it to the NHL for about a year and a half. And in one of the games, someone got a picture and we managed to get a couple copies.
Is that the Stanley Cup Finals?
I was going to say, Carolina, that would have been a potential.
That was a while ago, but...
He had... moved down. He was in the minors with New Jersey the year that in 2008 when the Wings played Carolina. And I have the brewery camera up here, and my wife's going to start laughing in a second because she said that they were listening live. So.
And they're not.
Yeah.
So.
You're watching the brewery? Why?
Oh, yeah. It's small life of a small business owner. When you're not there, you're still there.
Always.
One of my brother's former roommates in the minors was on the roster, and I probably didn't talk to my brother for close to 6 months because I kept calling him and saying, hey, you need to call him and have him get will call tickets. I don't care what they cost. You don't get many options to maybe see the Stanley Cup one,
right.
In your hometown, with your team. So you need to call him. Oh, I don't want to bother him. So call him. He would never relent. He would never call him. And the Wings won the Stanley Cup that night down at Joe Louis Arena. And it was a solid 6 months before I would talk to him again. I was so steamed.
So Michael?
Michael, yeah.
Michael? Yeah, I brought up his NHL page on the Hurricanes website. And it looks like he's got 26 games. He's got 2 assists.
Yep.
And a plus minus of 1.
That's good. Hey, yeah. Well, in the positive, who cares?
Yeah. And his greatest
like a defenseman, am I right?
Yeah, he was a defenseman, and his two greatest claims to fame, when he was in the Ontario Hockey League, he held the Detroit Junior Red Wings / Plymouth Whalers record for consecutive games played, I believe, until they left, and
just recently,
up until about 3 or 4 years ago, he actually held the record for total games played.
Nice.
Wow.
And then the biggest one, if you had to say, he didn't have a long career or anything, but any time that he would ever kind of get down on it, and say, I didn't really make it. I didn't, play 10 years or anything. Now, you have a singular definition of making it. He was on the ice at Madison Square Garden at the exact same time as Wayne Gretzky.
Oh, wow.
When they were there playing the Rangers.
I know someone who is in a professional sport does the same thing. It's like, are you kidding me? That's like 1 in 1,000,000 about. It's like the odds of doing that.
It's like you think of probably the 2,000 or 3,000 other guys he played with and against through all the levels of hockey growing up, and he's probably the only one that can say that.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, he,
no, let, it's funny to watch it get downplayed. Yeah. That, they don't realize how rare of an opportunity that is. It blows my mind knowing someone like I said myself, like at least one in a million, if not more. Like no one here, like I'm not going to be a professional athlete anywhere. I don't know about you guys, but
maybe I can join the mechanics with Calvin Johnson.
Oh, jeez.
I've had way too many donuts to be joining anything professional.
I hate when people downplay, like, I mean, don't walk around gloating about, but man, be proud of doing that. That's an accomplishment.
Yeah, I thought when he was going to say, like, the records and stuff he had is that he had the most penalty minutes and he was the only guy to take off a skate and try to stab someone.
Sweet. No. I'd be like, hell yeah, happy get him on the phone.
More. Oh, yeah.
I was waiting for that to come up, but no.
Well, it is April Fool's Day, so we can barely have to set it up.
He may hold the record for most Bar League invitations turned down, too, because every time I've signed up for a Bar League team and they find out, they're like, hey, call your brother.
It's like, we have an open spot. I'm like, no, our team's full. I'm like, yeah, you're leaving, and we're going to take your brother instead. Well, we had obviously this year has been kind of crazy in regards to the emergency goalies being called up. I don't know. Obviously, you haven't been paying too much attention about the NHL, but I don't know, Dan or anybody else, if you guys know about this. But there is a rule in the NHL rule book where you have to have an emergency goalie, someone you can call upon who could show up basically within an hour and a half, 2 hours of game time and fill a spot because you have to have two goalies suited and ready to go. So.
Yeah. Huh.
There was Minnesota, I believe the guy – or no, Phoenix. The guy was a banker.
Yep.
Wait, what?
This is such an awesome story.
They're always great stories.
It's such a great story.
So is he this signed, like Kurt Warner?
He signed a, one-day contract, and I think it was for like $500 or $1,000. He got to keep his jersey, and he pretty much showed up on the ice, and he got to practice with the team and play with the team. He was off that day because it was some banking holiday.
Yeah.
A President's Day or something
Arbor
like
Day.
That.
And he was, he was basically, because I think he has twins, and he was giving his twins a bath when they called.
Yeah.
Wow.
He was just like, oh, I guess I got to go to, you know, the stadium in Arizona.
How do they even find that guy's number? You know, they call, like, the local bar league and go.
I mean, they got him on back. I mean, like you said, it's like they have to have a backup on call. So,
yeah, wouldn't the Wings have, like, the Griffins on call? Like,
not many NHL teams have a minor league team that's 2 hours away.
Oh, yeah, I would say that's the thing.
Detroit's a very rare combination like that.
Very, yep.
And it's the same, you know, and the Pistons and the Lions, or not the Lions, the Tigers are the same way. Everybody's, their farm clubs are relatively really close. Whereas, I think it's like the Mets or someone, their farm team's out in Las Vegas. So,
you know,
your pitcher rolls out of bed with a bad neck or something and can't go that day. It's not like you just call Las Vegas and go, hey, fly him up to New York.
Put him on a plane. Yeah.
Get him on there right now. We got a 1 o'clock start.
Right.
To say the Lions that have done that several times out of Toledo, like having guys show up like an hour before the game.
Well, I mean, they have
Tigers. Lions. I'm sorry, Tigers.
Oh, okay. I was like, I'm pretty sure you meant the Tigers. Yeah. But.
Well, to be fair, the Lions and Tigers both have the same number of NFL championships.
Or Super Bowl.
The Lions have three NFL championships.
Well, Super Bowl championships.
Okay, that's a difference.
53, 56, 57?
Something like that. Something like that. Back when the Lions and the Browns were both dynasties in the 50s.
Yeah.
And they made it Super Bowl, and it's like, we'll get there when we get there.
That's a passing fad. We don't need to be into that.
At least that feels that way after every year. That's for sure. We got the draft coming up soon too. We'll be live when the draft is happening for day two. I believe.
I think that's day one.
Day one used to always be on Thursdays, and for the last few years when I was bowling, they would take off one of the score monitors every once in a while for a team and put on the draft. So you're trying to figure out you're like, shit, I have no idea what the score is, so you got to go down to the little old-timey, like, 1990s scoreboard from, like, AMF.
My gosh.
The old, like, the very first electronic-style scoreboard.
I was going to say, you're not sitting there with the yellow pencil writing on the
board. I was going to say, the last time I bowled, they had graduated to the clear, like,
that's what I'm thinking. Yeah, that's what
the light
about.
Shine, and you were sat there with a pencil the clear sheet.
You guys, that's how I learned math. Was actually doing bowling scores, was at my mom and my dad's league, two different nights,
And that's how I learned how to do math, was doing, you know, basic.
You were the scorekeeper?
I was a scorekeeper, nice. Yeah. And, of course, I thought I was, like, the most important person in the world because here I am at 6 years old or 7 years old taking score for everyone. Hell, yeah. And, of course, all the old guys who are drunk and hammered, you know, if they lose and they're like, oh, check his score. And
check his score.
I'm like, well, mind you, I have no idea what the hell is going on because I'm a naive 6 or 7 year old.
Yeah. So. You're like all worried and serious about it. They're like, check a score.
Sure enough, I'm probably, stumbling. Yeah, I'm doing good. I remember, I'll tell you a quick anecdote. I remember vaguely a Friday night league. My dad always bowled Friday nights. I never did because the biggest assholes bowl on Friday nights. And I remember somebody took a laser pointer when they first came out and shined it at my dad. And I've never seen before or after my dad this pissed off before because he had no idea what the hell was going on. Because these are brand new. It's not, you know, nobody really knew what laser pointers were. And he's looking down and he sees on his white shirt red and he's like, what the hell is going on? And everybody's laughing. And I'd never seen him like, I'm like, oh, my God, he's probably going to hurt someone. So I'll leave you guys with that. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in about 10 minutes with a better on draft. We are back with the Better on Draft podcast, episode number 26.
So if I can interject really quick, during the break, we just got our next follower.
Oh!
Wham, bam, transam.
Wham, bam, transam.
Twitch TV. This is you. Cheers. What's
up? Hold up. Because.
Uh-oh. Oh, wait. Do you know this person?
I know that name. And the funny thing is, the moment you said it...
Is that their God-given legal name? That is, Bam Trans Am?
That is not her God-given name. And the only reason I know it is because that is what she used on her OKCupid profile.
And how do you know her OKCupid profile?
We're just friends.
Okay. I think that was just a no comment.
No. If that is who I think it is, Sarah, you pain in the ass.
Oh, you're calling people. You can't call people out.
No, her name is Wham Bam Trans Am.
Wham Bam Trans Am. Sorry. Wham Bam Trans Am.
Cheers.
To Wham Bam Trans Am.
WBTA.
We salute
for
you.
Short.
We got the Mango Magnifico. And Ken, what did you just pour us?
I just poured us some hipster brunch.
Hipster brunch.
Is this infected?
I don't know. Geez. We should... John just looking down like,
John
oh
has
my
an opinion
God.
About this.
Uh-oh,
so
I have infected beer in front of me.
I have no opinion. It was just I saw the whole thread on the craft beer group about that. You're talking to a brewer who doesn't even have Untappd on his phone anymore. I think that says enough about.
So do you not follow what people say about you on Untappd or
my wife? Monitors it and has like the linked account or whatever it is for the brewery, and she'll show it to me every once in a while. And mostly, there are things on there that I really do appreciate. You know, people will leave honest, constructive feedback, and I always appreciate that, be it good, bad. I was a dealer rep for Ford for 3 years, so I have thick skin. I've pretty much been called every name in the book. So you know, that was before I opened a brewery. But it's just some of the ones where. You know, we got, I think it was the day before St. Patrick's Day, we had put on the wall, you know, coming soon, cream ale. And on St. Patrick's Day, we got a 4.5-star review on it.
How do you have a review on a beer that's not?
That's kind of the joke. I appreciate the review being 4.5 stars, but I haven't even brewed it yet.
How is it only 4.5?
Yeah.
Apparently it was in the wrong color chalk on the wall.
And was it from the same person who rated Hoop Slam?
Hoop Slam, oh my Slam. God. Yeah. That's a joke about a liquor store who does not know how to spell.
Oh, yeah, Hoop Slam.
Yeah, Beals Hoop Slam, B-E-E-L-S. But you know who knows how to spell?
Zatuna Liquor.
In Rochester Hills. Say hi to Jack Gus if he's there. He's usually at the northern version up in, I think, Lake Orion. Say hi to him if you say hi.
So far north,
yes. if you say hi to him, you're always a regular customer. Ask him what's coming out, what's coming new, and he'll be sure to try to help you out, tell you when it's going to be released. It's a full liquor store. You can buy singles, six-packs, four-packs, whatever you want. as well as pretty much any single type of liquor that they have there. If they can't, if they can get it, you can grab it from there. That's for sure. As well as a nice small selection of cigars. Definitely easy smoking. Your CAOs, your Monte Cristos, Romeo and Juliet's. Very easy smoking cigars. Check them out over on M59 and Rochester Road.
Nice. By the way, Dan, if allegedly if this is Wham Bam Trans Am, she apparently is really
next.
Oh, wait a minute.
Wham Bam Trans Am did say, "I've owned this handle since way before OKCupid was even a twinkle in sad basement dweller's eyes."
Sad basement dweller.
Ask him what his OKCupid name was.
So, Robert Everett III.
Oh, boy.
What was your OKCupid handle?
Oh, my God. I don't even remember. I don't even know. She, apparently, she must remember
it's
this.
It's not like Sexual Chocolate 1.
Sexual Chocolate
1. That was that movie, by the way.
That was, no.
While we try to get that answer,
But I was I was just going to say that allegedly if this – because I'm still going to go with allegedly because she's not going to own up to it. Allegedly, if this is Wham Bam Trans Am, she apparently, Dan, is very jealous of your hair.
Everyone's jealous of my hair. Welcome to my life.
How come nobody's jealous of my hair?
That it looks so soft and shiny, and it's much better than hers.
Well, that's not a new – oh, yeah, he wants me to touch it. Yeah, my hair is very nice. I take very good care of it. And I'm almost as old as you are, so it's pretty impressive considering how nice I am.
Wait. Does boxy brown sound familiar to you?
No.
What's a boxy brown there, Rob?
Oh, there it is.
He's got a big shit-eating grin on his face.
With two X's, by the way.
No, not three?
We still need a name for the brown ale when we brew it.
The boxy
brown. You just gave him a name.
Oh, my God. If you named it boxy brown, I honestly would not know what to do it myself.
And yes, Dan, Buddhist Owl thinks you do have luscious
lips. Don't forget two X's.
Two X's, not three.
Maybe three. That'd be
not three.
So I poured everybody some hipster brush.
Yeah, it's not hipster. Infected. I don't know. Thanks. This is the first time I've drank meat.
No, this is outside
It's like a meat product in like 6 months, but whatever.
No, this is a solid beer. This is great. Yeah.
I've got more. It's infected.
I've got more. So as we're drinking the hipster brunch, which is delicious right now.
So
to be honest, I still think this is a ploy in regards to getting everyone to drink their odd side ale
it creates
a higher demand for the rest, which we just fell for technically, but I don't care. So go on.
I don't know if it's much of a drink to drink as much as it is seem to get people to pour it.
Yeah. This is a normal thing apparently we hear from every brewer. Do you have people come in and tell you how to make your beer better? Is this a thing that happens
all
at
the
your
time?
Place?
Really?
I think everyone we've had in here, it's the same thing.
I've been wondering. We didn't bring it up earlier, so I was wondering. Like, people come in like, oh, you can do this to make it better? Like, really? This is a thing, apparently, a normal thing to do. Have you ever done this?
I've never told someone how to brew beer.
It's just like, I'm expecting...
Dan, you want to know why I've never done it? Because I don't know how to brew beer.
But still, it's like you're going to insult someone's, like, what they've made and be like, oh, you should do this?
I've made ideas and thoughts like, hey, I would like it if there was more lemon or more citrus or more, you know,
that's totally valid. I won't even do that.
I'm like, well, what the hell do I know about making beer?
It's not what I know. It's the fact of what I would want to taste more when I drink this beer.
I can't speak for everyone in the industry, but I like talking to people like that. I love talking shop when I get a chance to sit out front and talk beers and things like that. And I like that because I may not change the particular beer you're drinking, but it may give me ideas to
make something different.
Yeah, make a derivative of it or something. So,
yeah, no, it can't be. I mean, I kind of equate it to I remember when this was like way, way back when the Tampa Bay Buccaneers were looking for a new head coach and some guy sent in his resume because he won the Madden 2012 championship.
Oh, God.
It's further back than that because I think Gruden was the coach by that point. But it's like it's like that same thing where somebody is sitting around, hey, dude, I had my Mr. Beer, and I could make a hell of a lot better beer than this. Maybe if you do this and this to your beer, then it would taste a hell of a lot
better.
Maybe
if you do this.
But I got to say, I followed a pretty typical homebrewer progression while I was a homebrewer. You know, started extract, specialty grain.
Mm-hmm.
From there, worked up to, you know, like full 5-gallon boils on a little turkey burner. Brewed inside during the winter. started like 5-gallon all grain batches, and then went to a 3-tiered system out in the garage, and all of that. And I'll say this: brewing is brewing. It's you know, the process is essentially. I mean, there's the technical specifications, pumps, and things like that. But brewing is brewing. But to say that brewing is brewing is like saying driving is driving when you go from a Fiesta to a Freightliner.
Jeez, personal experience. Tesla 3. my day job, I work at Detroit Diesel, so I pretty much deal with Freightliners all the time.
Nice. So, I mean, it's, you know, you're still driving, you know, the rules of the road are still the same and everything, but the turning radiuses are different, the starts, the stops, there's a whole lot of differences.
This is why I don't drive them. I just test
Fiestas
them.
Or Freightliners?
Freightliners.
Fiestas.
I don't drive Fiestas because I don't fit in Fiestas.
I think we got an Uber in a Fiesta. You see the options you can put in those things. Beer fest.
Oh, yeah,
we took an Uber beer fest with me and him in the car.
And a Fiesta, yeah. I don't know how we managed that one. But we did. We went to Xochimico. Were you with us at Xochis?
Yeah, that's where we got the Fiesta. They picked
us up. Oh my God. We went to Xochimico's, and I just remember I was just after the beer festival, I was drinking after the beer festival. We didn't have sangria. What did we have? We had margarita.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had some form of margarita, and I was just pouring. I'm like, oh, yeah.
I was like, what the hell is going on here?
It's like, I ain't got to drive. Yeah. I don't care.
Still, Xochimico's being, I guess, one of the best Mexican restaurants to ever somehow pass health inspection.
Well, I don't think we – well, let me rephrase that. We didn't go to Xochimico's. We went to
Armando's. Oh, Armando's. Yeah.
Armando's.
Yeah.
Yep. No, solid.
What's Armando's? You know what's really good? If you've never been to Evie's down in Corktown, Evie's, you can get breakfast for two for under $10.
Really? Damn. Shit.
Yeah. Like my wife and I have been there, and we literally – it'll be like $9. I'm like, all right, here's 20. Goodbye. Like I feel bad for not tipping because I'm filled, and I'm a big guy, and I get filled up over at these at Evie's. So I'm like, okay, I expected to pay $20, so you can have an $11 tip. I don't care. Thank you for serving me and being probably one of the best servers I ever had because you're actually attentive and you don't mess up my food.
Oh, munt, by the way.
Go for it. I've poured myself. We have some more hipster brunch as well, as I got two bottles of Mocha Munt open. The infected Mocha Munt. So Dan will be
I've drank like a six pack of these already in the last few months.
It's an alcoholic thin mint.
I'll have to maybe I can get some bourbon barrel for on the cheap in the trade section.
You had to say thin mint, didn't you? Because now I'm sure I'm going to get back to the brewery and my wife's going to go, so what was the thin mint one?
Well, that's the one.
Do you want some? This is a very good.
Wait, I mean, if you want me to bring the bourbon barrel my mocha, I still have. I probably have like a good six bottles of that left. I can bring that next week.
Yeah, just bring two. Just bring two. That's enough
we
drink more than enough on this show.
Yeah,
try to have a variety.
Isn't that good? Yeah,
I don't know what Powers is going to bring us because we got Powers and Southern Wine and Spirits coming out. Yep. That's opening day /
hockey playoffs.
Oh gosh, that day's going to suck so much.
The final Detroit Red Wings hockey game is the night after, and I think the night before is the last game against Philly.
Wednesday is the game against Philly.
Is Wednesday the game against Philly?
I just looked at it before I came here. I was like, uh-oh, that's a big game.
Yeah, well, we got a game against Philly and a game against Boston, which are two huge
games.
1Y, 6Us.
Oh, gosh.
So amazing.
So what do you got upcoming for Dearborn? You got any events coming up, any live music? Anything going on? Food events, food truck pop-ups. I'm kind of just spitballing.
Yeah, we've got a bunch of stuff. We're trying to try and set something up where we'll have at least one like random event every month. We have live Quizzo every Monday.
Ooh, Quizzo, Rob.
And Rob just got 10 times jealous.
That's okay. You know who
Rob's
hosts
like in that mango. Though.
You know who hosts Sporkle? North Center.
Yes, they do.
North Center
Thank
Brewing.
Thank you,
Sporkle
North trivia. Center Brewing, for hosting my trivia, Sporkle Live.
One of our sponsors. Make sure to get that in there, North Center Brewing. We appreciate Bob and the gang over there. But yeah, you have Quizzo.
We have Quizzo every Monday. We have a food truck out, Matt and Moe's. Nice. They do Italian beef sandwiches, fresh-cut fries with, Williamsburg cheddar over the top of them. They also do like a Thousand Island Sriracha sauce on them, which is delicious.
I bet that is good.
Oh.
But come April 9th, we have Dearborn's hosting one of the Martian Marathons. And they're actually running right by the brewery, so we've got like all these little Martian men in the windows right now, and we'll be opening early for that with drink specials and all that. So after everyone runs all those miles and everything, they can roll into the brewery and start undoing the healthiness that they've they've worked.
Hey, I was always told after a good run, a beer is healthy. So
but the real big one we're looking at right now is May 14th, the animal shelter in Dearborn is doing the Mutt Strut. It's a huge fundraiser for them, and we're actually going dog friendly for the day, so people will be able to bring their dogs right into the brewery.
It's turning into Ferndale. All right.
And nice. We'll have like spent grain dog treats for anybody who wants to let their dogs eat them and that, because
we can bring Milo and Bobby over there.
God, that'll be a disaster.
Is it just going
to
be
what not to do?
Just people bringing in their dogs, or is it going to be like a shelter event where people are like bringing in shelter dogs for adoption?
The shelter event is actually going to be about two blocks away from us down at Ford Field in Dearborn.
Okay. The other Ford Field.
Yeah. Not the original. Nice,
the original Ford Field.
But so they'll have stuff there, and there's the big walk. We're also looking at doing – we're trying to set up like a rotation of food trucks like on Sundays, like Sunday afternoon. So people can come in, catch like, the afternoon baseball games and stuff. We'll run drink specials.
Very nice.
Things like that. We're just trying to do different things, trying to integrate ourselves into the community. It's a big thing. One of the things we're absolutely proudest of is that since the day we've opened, none of our grains have gone into a landfill. We struck a deal very early on, and we actually send all of our spent grains that don't go to like individual requests or anything like that. We send them over to the Firestone Farm over at Greenfield Village, which they call the Henry Ford now. Which, growing up, it was always Greenfield
it's
Village.
Greenfield
It'll
Village.
Always be Greenfield Village to me. But kind of like Pine Knob is still
Henry
Pine Knob.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? That's DTE Energy.
But, still call it Pine Knob.
But we send them over to the farm there, and they use them to feed the cows, the pigs. The horse is getting incredibly jealous because they don't get to have any. And when we pull up, the horses will actually walk right up to the gate and like huff and stomp their feet and everything. And
but it's embarrassing doing that.
It's a fantastic arrangement because it's a huge benefit for them. They get a food supplement, and it's a huge benefit for us because we keep it out of the landfill, we keep it out of the dumpster. So
get your name out there a little bit. That you're giving to a big landmark in Metro Detroit in Greenfield Village that, I think it's opening up fairly soon. Is it already open or is it fairly opening up?
The museum's open year-round. The village hasn't opened up just yet.
That's going to be soon, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we really didn't do it out of any, I try to be as environmentally conscious as I can with everything I do. I was just thinking the other day, it's like, I remember back when I got married back in 97, we went to Honolulu for our honeymoon. And, Hard Rock Cafe was always kind of one of the big tourist things at the time. And they had, the One Planet, One Love type thing, and kind of played up their environmental thing. Yep. And I was just thinking to myself how that's changed so much in the past decade and a half, where, companies used to get rewarded for doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And these days – it's more expected, and you don't get rewarded for it anymore. You just get punished if you don't do it.
Yeah,
and I'm actually totally cool with that. I think that's the way it should be. You should try to be, as careful as you can. But I did it because it was basically just a win-win for both of us. I didn't have to pay for an extra dumpster pickup. I kept it out of the landfill, and I was satisfied with that. And then people started saying, "Oh, that's awesome! You need to promote that." And It never occurred to me that was a marketing avenue or anything like that. I'm just happy that we're able to help a local landmark and benefit ourselves at the same time. So
that's probably something so little that a lot of people that are not in the industry or not business owners wouldn't even realize that, not only is it like a business decision, but that's also a decision to get your name out there and picking Greenfield Village or the Henry Ford, whatever you want to call it. Picking that as a place to do that, and that'd be that's that's a win-win, like you said.
You know, it was just kind of a thing because lots of breweries have deals with farmers and things like that. That's nothing new. It's fantastic. And we were trying to figure out what we were going to do. And my wife's family is from up in the Thumb area, so she knows still a lot of people in the farming community up there. But that's a bit of a drive. And just one day out of the blue, it just kind of occurred to us. It's like, wait, they have animals over at Greenfield Village.
Right.
And they're literally half a mile from us. We load up the truck with the grains and we're there in 5 minutes. So, like, hey, let's ask them before we start talking to people up in the Thumb area.
Right.
It just worked out from there. So,
get rid of it, less gas, and it works out.
So here's the real question. So what beer, if say you're at a party.
Oh, geez. Introducing the Nick the Brewer Punch in the Face beer time.
If it's your last beer, hard to get beer or beer they don't make anymore. What beer would you punch your best friend in the face over if you saw them drinking it?
The last one.
The very last one. That's a stable question.
Wow.
We ask this to everyone now.
I don't know. I'm
past or present.
I am such a huge
friend is past or present too.
I am such
may
a
no
huge
longer be a
just
friend after.
Drink what you like and don't apologize for it.
But if it was your beer and you saw your friend drinking the last one, you can't get anymore. Like, there's a perfect beer I love that you can't. They don't make anymore. Like, I'd have to clothesline Ken. I don't know. he probably wouldn't be chugging it.
I don't know because I just move on to something else. There's so many beers that I enjoy that I don't know that I'd get that worked up if I couldn't get one more. Yeah. It's funny you ask me that, though, because not going to say the exact words, but funny story about how I met my wife, and I am so going to catch hell for this one.
Oh, jeez.
Did you beat someone up?
I hope so. You're listening live.
We have several viewers.
I was at a fraternity party down at Wayne State.
What fraternity?
What fraternity?
I was not a member, but it was a Pi Kappa Alpha party.
I was hoping you were going to say Sigma Pi. I was going to be like, yeah. You probably
I was crossing my fingers it was Theta Tau, but never mind. Okay.
And
Pi Kappa Alpha.
I knew several of the guys that were brothers in the fraternity, and this was way back in the day when the hot beer was Molson Ice, which was a big deal on a college student budget back in the day.
Don't laugh. That was my first beer. Don't laugh.
I'm sorry.
Don't laugh. That's going to be on the docket next week.
Yeah, there we go.
And I had brought a six-pack, and he said, well, you can leave the extras up here in the cooler. And I just kind of laughed and went, I know you. As soon as I walked out of the room, I'm going to be short 5 beers. So I had one in each hand. I shoved one in each front pocket and one in each back pocket.
Nice. There you
and
go.
We went downstairs to the party. And I said, I don't care if they get warm. At least this way,
they're yours.
I have my beer. And a mutual friend was there, and she had a friend with her. And the next thing I know, I feel one of the beers just disappear out of my back pocket.
That's a mystery.
Sounds like something I would do.
Jinkies.
Well, yo, there's a beer. Let me just pull it out of that pocket. There's a beer.
Wow.
We've been together ever since. And that's how I met my wife. I said, give me back my beer. She said, come get it. And she completely underestimated how seriously beer was impacting my life. Because now she's married to someone who owns a brewery.
And she is at the brewery right now. It's like, why are you telling that story right now? Sorry, I'm sure that's not what she said. I'm sorry. Oh, there goes the camera.
What'd you do?
Ah, crap.
You're getting all excited. You're getting all crazy.
Live TV.
Sorry.
Live TV.
We just had like a 2.2 earthquake.
We just lost our followers.
Earthquake Nicholas.
Thanks, Nick. Our followers just unfollowed us. No, I don't know.
At some point, my phone's going to explode.
It's funny
here
to
now.
Watch the video. It does look like an earthquake.
All right, we're getting a tripod for this damn thing. Come on.
I got to check and I might have one at home.
Amazon, we have one, or just Amazon Prime, for God's sakes.
You could donate it to us at the betterondraft.com website.
Message us on Facebook if you were interested in donating to it.
Leave a comment on one of our posts on our website. And be like, hey, I got it. No, don't do that.
We'll check it out and then we'll
So we're drinking hipster brunch. We're drinking Mocha Munt. We've got about 7 minutes left.
We have another bottle, by both the way, of them, that hasn't been touched.
Both of them taste like drinking, hipster brunch and Mocha Munt. I mean, there's, to me, I guess there's a slight tartness to them.
I taste no tart.
And the hipster is
let me rephrase that.
Now.
I'm only drinking the hipster, and all I taste is fucking bacon. Bourbon and syrup.
And this is a good 6 months old?
I don't know. Something like that.
I mean, we had this when it came out on one of our first
yeah,
shows.
Yeah, pretty much like when the whole...
Whenever Sellerman's was here.
When the whole scare hit, I ended up opening up a hipster, and I'm like, what the hell? This is fine. I mean, there's nothing wrong with this.
We've been had.
The only thing I picked up was some slight like notes of sherry oxidation, which is totally acceptable and to be expected.
Barrel aged
beer, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
I mean, you'd be surprised if it wasn't there in a beer that size.
Right.
Barrel aged, so.
I mean, it's like I don't brew. It's been since Mr. Beer since I have, but, you know.
I think I have a couple of 2006 Bigfoot barley wine still laying around the house. I should bust those
Bigfoot?
Open.
Oh, I love that. I love Bigfoot, but. You're talking about the Sierra Nevada Bigfoot?
Yep.
Oh, wow. That'd be interesting to crack open. Wow. 10 years
after this,
later.
10 years later?
Yeah, that's quite the... I mean, we're going to have an episode coming up very, very soon where we're going to be bringing a childhood friend of mine onto the show.
Which
we will be drinking some 60-year-old.
Oh, that one he told me not to drink. I was like, I'm going to go drink it anyways. And then I found out it was like,
never mind.
You were seriously going to, wait. You were seriously going to drink that?
Yes.
Well, he had to tell me not to drink because I would probably go crack one open and be like,
this shit is going to be like Fear Factor. We're going to need EMS outside.
Well,
we've come up with the rules of the situation in regards to the fact that we're not going to... we're not going to drink it if it's, you know, if there's anything in the beer itself. So we're going to pour it out first before we drink it.
We're going to observe it.
So no face huggers coming out of a 50-year-old beer.
Yeah. Nothing that got in there. We're obviously assuming that we're not going to be able to drink too much of it.
I've had some fairly old Pilsners at some homebrew club meetings. And when I say fairly old, if memory serves, they were somewhere between 15 and 20 years old. And you'll get some sediment. You know, things will settle out over time. But if the sanitation is good, there'll be nothing wrong with the beer. Now, that's not going to vouch for the taste over time. You know,
are you sure beers, it's not going to taste great?
It may not taste great, and it probably won't be less filling either. But no,
I looked online. There was someone who drank some – apparently they released Dallas beer back in the early 80s, like the TV
Dallas
show.
Beer?
And someone cracked some over. Like the show Dallas.
Who yes. killed J.R. Dallas?
Yeah, that Dallas.
Hagman. Yeah, and someone drank like a six-pack of that beer like 20 years later.
Wow.
So, yeah. Wow. So I think you'll be all right. It's just like, wow, good luck with that. That'll be fun to watch.
The good thing is that we do know someone who is an EMT, so I think we
will he be here to do this?
I can ask him, see if he can be on call for like a half hour.
We were going to bring our friend Sunil over here.
There you go.
He's an anesthesiologist. What's he going to do?
I'm sure he's
going to put you to sleep. If you
just get a bottle of Ipecac.
Yeah, we must as well do that. All right, Sunil, just put him to sleep if he throws up.
That would be awesome if he comes in here and just knocks you out.
I just feel like this thing's going to taste like somebody just sprayed you in the mouth with a can of Lysol.
Oh, Sunil is about to throw up. Put him to sleep. Put him to sleep. Like, give him a shot.
Oh, man, that Mocha Munt tastes great, too.
I know, it does.
I'm very disappointed we opened up those beers.
You cracked all four of us. Like,
I know.
Oh, are we going to drink all four of those?
Well, I mean, there's like five of us here. So
we still have a whole bottle. So, guys,
episode one. All over
I know. I'm
again.
I'm working on it. There's still the Mango Magnifico, which
there's like a cup
there's quite a bit of this left.
We'll get that.
I'll take a shot of that. We'll get it down while we're doing post production here,
which is pretty darn good. But
so, where can they find you on the social medias? Yeah. There,
we're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and then DearbornBrewing.com. So we hit all the big ones. We haven't gotten into anything fancier just
yet. You're
not
on Twitch yet? Like you are?
We're not on Twitch.
What about Tout? Are you on Tout?
What is Tout again?
No, we're not on Tout. We're not on Tumblr. We're not on Pinterest.
Snapchat?
Not on Snapchat.
Good.
Okay, Cupid.
No. Are you on Tinder? Can we find the brewery on
Tinder?
Can we
swipe right?
Tinder.
Hotornot.com. Are you guys on there?
Hot or not.
Tinder. Hot. Thrinder.
You know, yeah, Thrinder. We talked about that.
Gosh.
We've actually talked about getting a social media person, so at that point, who knows where we'll end up. MySpace page.
MySpace. Who's in your top eight?
Can you have business pages on MySpace?
Is Farmington in your top eight? Maybe some Dragon Mead?
Where exactly is Dearborn Brewing? For everyone listening, where can they find
address, yeah.
Address.
Yeah,
we're 21930 Michigan Avenue, north side of the street. We're in between Oakwood and Monroe in Dearborn, Michigan, West Dearborn, if you're so inclined to kind of divide the city.
Yep.
Yeah, it's kind of, you think of the two set, yeah.
Slightly.
Well, it used to be two cities once upon a time. And kind of merged and all of that. So.
And what days are you open, closed, that hours kind of thing?
Open 7 days, Sunday through Thursday, 3 to 10, Friday, Saturday, 3 to midnight.
What time do you open on Sundays?
3 o'clock.
It's kind of perfect. leave MMA practice and drive to Dearborn Brews.
That you sounded so upset, and they're like,
"No, it's good. No, that's good.
That's perfect."
Roll out at 2:30, drive to the brewery, drink. That makes sense.
Well, that's going to do it for us here at the Better on Draft podcast. No matter what you think of your beer, we think it's Better on Draft.
Good night, everybody.
Take care and spike your hair.